Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Please be seated. Brethren, we entreat you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Venerable religious, dear parishioners, St. Paul asks us to examine our consciences today. Do not receive the grace of God in vain. And by this he is telling us that we must make progress in the spiritual life. And in light of that examination of conscience, let's ask ourselves, am I better spiritually today than I was the first Sunday of Lent last year? Have I rooted out some of my spiritual failings and problems? If I cannot say with all honesty that I am better today than I was a year ago, then we would have to say that we are receiving the grace of God in vain. It's being wasted on us. And worse yet, if we're not better and should even say that we are worse than we are a year ago, then we are really in a real fix, a real spiritual predicament. So a good question to ask ourselves, am I spiritually more improved than I was a year ago? It reminds me of what the Imitation of Christ says. If we could root out just one fault or sin every year, it says we shall soon be perfect men. Not perfect like God is, but essentially we would become saints. So because of our tendency to backslide, to seek the path of less resistance, we need to do this penance, this holy penance of the Lenten season. We've already begun it, and we have a very strong exhortation today to do it well. Receive not the grace of God in vain. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. And then we see our own blessed Lord embarking on a total fast for 40 days and nights straight. You see, the penance in the early church was that during Lent, you would have to fast all day. And it was only after the sun went down that you could then partake of food. And the church, in concession to our weaker status, you might say, in our modern times, has mitigated that with one main meal, two smaller meals. But it used to be all day fasting. When the sun went down, then you could eat. But to make it clear, our Lord was going to go beyond that. It says in today's gospel, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. He who had no need to fast, he who had no sins for which to atone, set us a most marvelous example of penance. And so the 40 days of Lent, based on the 40 days of our Lord's own Lent, which he had no need of doing. We're also reminded of the other 40s in the Old Testament, the 40 days and nights of the deluge when God destroyed the human civilization by the great flood. reminded of the 40 years of wandering in the desert. And then our Lord would also stay 40 days after his resurrection before he ascended into heaven. God seems to really like that number 40, along with the number 7. There are many, many examples of sevens in Holy Scripture. So we begin, well, actually I shouldn't say we begin, we already began on Ash Wednesday, but we have this example before our eyes of fasting, of doing penance. And I'd like to review some reasons why we are fasting, why we are giving up certain lawful pleasures during Lent. Needless to say, we should be giving up unlawful pleasures, and that's all year round. I always have to smile when I remember hearing that story of the little boy who was asked, what are you going to give up for Lent? He thought for a moment, I think I'll give up fighting. He hadn't quite learned that he should give that up all the time, the quarreling with his brothers and sisters. Now, it would have been good if he had said, I'll make a greater effort to give up fighting. But no, it's not just for Lent. We should always give up unlawful pleasure. But why do we give up lawful pleasures during Lent? Number one, we need to atone for our sins. And this is where Lent has to begin, with a good breast beating, my dear brethren. If we are not conscious of the fact that we are sinners, then we can't have the right spirit. If we are not conscious of the fact how we have offended God, then we won't have the right spirit in Lent. If we are not conscious of the debt that we have contracted for our sins, and yes, even forgiven mortal sin has a debt, not to mention all the venial sins. And we cannot say, honestly, I've done enough penance for all of my sins. You see, my dear brethren, we're so used to receiving God's mercy in this life that we forget about God's justice. We seem to think that maybe 3 Hail Marys will take care of purgatory time. And no, it doesn't. Yes, we do receive a small penance in confession, but that by no means covers all of our debt, all of our purgatory time. I would encourage you to read that book on purgatory. We recommend it every November when we think about the holy souls, the book on purgatory by Father Shoup, and it really makes you think much harder about how much debt of punishment we incur because of our sins. Let's not fool ourselves and think that it's easily disposed of. True, we can gain partial and plenary indulgences, but even there has to be true amendment of life, true contrition, and fulfilling all the conditions for indulgences. So even though technically we never could completely atone for our sins, Christ had to do it on the cross for us, still God expects us to do our part. And we read how in the Old Testament God required so many sacrifices, so many observances, so many rituals. And yes, there was even fasting imposed in the Old Testament to get across the point, even though these things cannot, strictly speaking, atone for sin, you still have to do your part. And when we see the Ninevites fasting, instead of God destroying their city, he spared them. That's how powerful penance is. God accepts it as redemptive. So that's one reason why we need to do penance. We have plenty of debt to work off. The second reason is that We need something to strengthen our weak wills. And here's a very important principle to spiritual life. If we do not resist lawful pleasures, at least from time to time and with regularity during Lent, if we do not do that, we'll be too weak to resist unlawful pleasure because the will hasn't been trained to make hard decisions. So this is where we have to strengthen ourselves. Again, if we don't resist or give up lawful pleasure, we just won't do it when unlawful pleasure presents itself. So that fasting, the penance, the good works we take upon ourselves, we force ourselves to do, we're building up willpower. And we're going to be stronger for it. There's another reason why we do penance, and that is that when we are doing penance, we acquire a spiritual clarity of vision that we do not have when we're not doing penance. In other words, my dear brethren, what we're doing is we're removing obstacles from our spiritual life. Our eyes are opening up more during Lent than they would at other times. Why? Because we're giving up these lawful pleasures. We're disciplining ourselves. We're mortifying ourselves. We can see God more clearly. We can see our soul more clearly. This is why Lent is called one big long retreat. We've eliminated, or should have eliminated, many a distraction that perhaps presents itself at other times of the year. We can see more clearly. And here's another point, or another aspect of that having given up certain lawful pleasures, when we go back to them, we'll be more careful not to commit any sins by making use of them. You see, we've acquired that clarity of vision. Just to give a couple of examples. I mentioned this last year. I'm going to mention it again. Fasting from Facebook. Now, I'm not even going to dwell on the fact that, well, I guess I should, that often Facebook can be a source of sin. Because of immodesty, indecency, and the improper or bad language that is used, the gossip that is posted, the worldly and trivial things that are there. And perhaps I would like to put the question this way. My dear brethren, does Facebook help you in your spiritual life or does it drag you down? I've seen Facebook, and I don't see much spirituality there at all. I see it more as a hindrance than a help in the spiritual life. Now, I'm not saying social networking is bad, no. And I'm not saying you can't use it. I'm just saying that perhaps it would be good to fast from it so that when you go back, you can be more careful about avoiding the sins that are there. You see, you'll be using it in a better way, a holier way. And this is that spiritual clarity of vision that I said we acquire by fasting from lawful pleasures. When we go back to them, we're more careful to not ever fall into sin by using them. Some may choose to, during Lent, to go on a vanity fast, you know, give up adornments, you know, or focus on, you know, that so that when adornments are used, yes, ladies, I guess I am speaking more to you. It's more in your nature to do this. You'll be more careful not to use them in a way that might be offensive to God or sinful or wrong in some way. Even the idea of fasting from food. as we give it up, when we go back to, you know, to making greater use of it after Easter, we're more careful to avoid sins that can be committed in this way. By the way, that's another advantage of fasting, and the church points this out in her orations, that fasting is not just good for our souls, fasting is good for our body as well. Although that can't be the main reason. If that's our main reason for somebody to do that, then of course their reward is their health, the better health that they have. But the church allows us to recognize it, that it is beneficial to us, especially spiritually, but also physically. So, my dear brethren, I just wanted to share these thoughts with you. Penance is not pleasant, not desired by any of us. It's not in our human nature to seek it out, but it is so necessary in the spiritual life. We fast, we deny ourselves so that we can persevere and grow spiritually. If we don't do this, as our Lord says, unless you do penance, you shall likewise perish. If we neglect doing the penance we should, my dear brethren, we will not persevere. It is that important in our spiritual life. So Holy Mother, the Church, in her wisdom, does impose the holy season of Lent on us. And again, it is for our own good. It is for the good of the world. You can even think of it this way, that the whole human race got messed up terribly when our parents didn't fast from an apple like they should have. Of course, it was not out of weakness or gluttony that they ate that apple. They didn't have a fallen human nature. They fell out of pride, but it was a lack of fasting, wasn't it? And so by fasting, by the other works of penance, by greater prayer and alms deeds, we always undo the harm of sin. We can say that sin is a lack of fasting. We don't fast from a certain unlawful pleasure. So, by fasting, we undo the harm of sin. It makes the world holier and better, and certainly for us as individuals most of all. So let us with good heart, my dear brethren, go through this holy Lenten season and recognize the great good that will accrue to us. May we inspire and encourage one another by our good example during this holy season. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.